Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Eruvin Daf Chof Vov. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara Marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara for the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur halfway down Daf Chofov, or if you prefer, 18 lines from the top. The Gemara opens up with a quote from the Mishnah back on Daf Chof Gimel regarding the topic of a rachba and its dimensions. Omar Rebbe Loi Shomati Me Rebbe Lezer V'afilu Beis Kor, that a rachba, unlike the previous dimensions that we have seen already, he says it can be even a Beis Kor that's 30 sa'a in size. We should point out that for those of you who are using the Pirush Chai, the book of illustrations that accompanies Maseches Eruvin, he does not have any illustrations until Daf Lamed Beis, Omid Beis, when once again illustrations will be necessary. So our Gemara opens up by pointing out that our Mishnah is not like another opinion, like the opinion of Chananya. Masnisin Delo Kichananya. Our Mishnah is unlike his Shita, the Sanya. Here's a Tanaic source with a different dimension for a Rachbo, Chananya Omer, Afilu Hi Arboim Saw, Kisratya Shel Melech. Even if it's 40 Saw, like the Isratya of a king. Rashi says in the lower lines of the Gemara, of the Rashi commentary in the wide lines, Ki Isratya Shel Melochim, Rechova Shachore Paltin, and open area type of yard in back of palaces, Visham Hoyu Metailim Tomid, and they would stroll over there. Almo Ika Dirabachi. So it's a type of dwelling. It's, if we have to qualify different dwellings, a rachba, as we've learned in the past, relative to a chotzer, is not a place where there are dayorim, where there are people that are dwelling. And that has ramifications for a rachba that opens up into another area and the need for an eruv or a shituf. However, to be a place that lends itself to being enclosed, even if it's very large, so that's what Rashi seems to be alluding to here, that the fact that people stroll around in that area, it's considered dira, and as such, there should be no limitations on the enclosure. However, what we just said now is something that is subject to much further discussion, as far as what is Rashi really trying to gain when he says Iko dira bahochi. Let us continue in the Gemara. Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Ushneim Mikra Echadarshu, both our Mishnah, which was Rabbi Loi in the name of Rabbi Eliezer, and Chananya, both of these Shitas, the 30 Kor, or the base Kor Shita, or the 30 Saw, the base Kor is 30 Saw, and Chananya's Shita of 40 Saw, come from the same source. Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Ushneim Mikra Echadarshu, Shneimar, Vayhi Shayo, Lo Yotza, Chotzer Hatichona. That is a pasuk, and the pasuk describes Yishayo as being in a location near the king's palace. It was at the time of King Chizkiyo, the Chotzer HaTichona. Ksiv Ho'ir V'Karinon Chotzer. When you read this pasuk, when you open up, let's say, a traditional scroll of the Book of Kings, you will see that the word Ho'ir HaTichona appears, Ho'ir, and not the word Chotzer. However, the oral tradition says that you're supposed to read that as not Ho'ir, which in truth is printed, however, read it as Chotzer. So the word ear and chotzer seem to be interchangeable. Mikan, from this we see, from this we learn, le'istratio shel melech shehoyu kayoros beinonios. The Rashi points out, as well as the Ritva, that in this posuk, hatichona, even though we read it chotzer, we know it's not referring to a formal courtyard, but rather a rachba, a yard. The formal courtyard that we call chotzer would have been referred to as chotzer hachitzona, as the outer courtyard. However, the word hatichona is used, indicating something other than a formal courtyard. So rather it's a, we could call it a backyard, which we have been learning till now as called a rachba. And from here we see that a rachba could measure the size of a small town, ayoros beinonios. Bemai komifugi, what's the underlying point of machlokis now between the shita in our mishnah of Rebeloi, who said 30 saw, and Hananya, who says 40 saw? Marsov ayoros beinonios havyon beis kor. That would be the opinion of Rebeloi. In the name of Rebbe Lazar, and the other sheet of Hananya, Mar Sovar Mem saw Havion, that these Ayoros Beinonios, mid-sized towns, would measure 40 saw. The Gemara asks, Vishayo, my boy Hossam, what was the prophet Yishayo doing over there? What was he doing in the rachba of the king? Omar Rabo Bar Barchana Om Rav Yochanan Melamed. This teaches us Shecholo Chizkia. Chizkia took ill, and it's interesting to note that the king Chizkia's illness is also the topic of discussion in Maseches Brochas Daf Yud, which features Yishayo as well in that story. So the Gemara tells us that the pasuk teaches that Chizkio had taken ill, v'holach Yishayo, v'hoshiv yeshiva al pischo, and Yishayo went there and gathered some students and started holding forth in Torah lectures, or they were learning Torah there, with the intent of keeping the angel of death, the Malach HaMoves, from entering. We, as part of our tradition, we have the belief that the Torah study has the power of preventing the angel of death from reaching his victim, if you will, or the mission he was sent on, and that's what Chizkio was involved with. Mikan, from here we see the Talmud Chacham Shechola Shemoshivan Yeshiva Al Pischo, that a Talmud Chacham, a Torah scholar, that takes ill. Of course, we're not talking about he's merely sneezing, but he becomes seriously ill, that a group of Torah students should study Torah by his entrance. The Gemara, though, says otherwise. The Gemara takes a different opinion approach to what we just concluded and says, V'lav milsi, that is not something to do. Dilma osi ligriye be satan, that could inflame the Satan. It could form a type of challenge to him, and he'll only increase his efforts as a result. The Ritva points out that what the Gemara is saying not to do it means for anyone other than someone of the caliber of Yishayo, who was a tzaddik gomor and a prophet as well, but for someone any less an individual than Yishayo, that's what the Gemara here is saying, not to do that. V'chein shamati imenu anshe chotzer sheshochach echad v'lo irev beisoy osur. And the Mishnah went on to say, mi lahachnis ulahoitzi loy avol lohem muter. Someone who was a member of a courtyard, namely a few apartments or houses open to a common courtyard, there is an expectation that an Erev Chatzerus is made, whereby everyone joins together and they become a single entity, and hence there is no problem of carrying from the houses into the courtyard. However, in the event that one person forgets to join in, so there is an option that on Shabbos day, when he realizes that he forgot to make the Eruv, so he is mevatel his rishus to the others. He foregoes, in a legal sense, he foregoes ownership of his proper, of his holding, and thereby he's considered out of the picture, and the rest of the people who had contributed to the Eruv can carry in and out of their houses. The Gemara asks, and we should point out that on the side we have a topic heading, Mevatel Rishus, Mi Shelo Irev. We're talking about this topic of someone who forgot to make an Eruv, so he is Mevatel his Rishus. He foregoes is the ownership of his property for that Shabbos, foregoes it to the rest of the people. We will see in the course of the Gemara a geometric form, a house shape, and under the Mivneh heading we will note these are Shnei Lishonos. There are two versions, Alma Omar Rav Sheshes es Devorov. Rav Sheshes is going to appear as making a comment here, and the question is, or the issue is structurally, on what does he make his comment. So we'll have two Lishonos, two versions. The Gemara asks, V'hot Tanan, do we not have a source that says, Beisoy Osur Lahoitsi Lahachnis Lo Vilohen, that when one forgets to make an Eruv, so his house is usher to carry in and out of, not only for the person that forgot to make the Eruv, but for the rest of the members of the courtyard as well. In our Mishnah, we were taught that Beiso usher, this house is forbidden to carry in and out of from the house to the courtyard for the owner himself, but for the other people, it is mutter. Omar Rav Huna Breda Rav Yeshua Omar Rav Sheshes Lo Kasha. There is no contradiction. Rather, Ha Rebbe Eliezer V'ha Rabbonan. Our Mishnah is according to Rebbe Eliezer, which is as it said in the Mishnah that we heard in the name of Rebbe Eliezer. And the Tanaic source that's quoted by the Gemara is according to the Rabbonan. When you look into what we just heard, Ledivrei Rebbe Eliezer, according to Rebbe Eliezer, Hamevatel Rishus Chatzero, when someone is Mevatel, he foregoes the ownership that he has in the courtyard, Rishus Beso Bitel, he is also foregoing the ownership of his house, even though he doesn't specify thusly. What is the result of that? So he foregoes ownership of the house as well. So he is totally removed. Therefore, the house, in effect, belongs to the rest of the people. And that's why it is mutter for them to carry in and out of that house. The Rabbanon, however, according to the Rabbanon, who said his house remains usur for the rest of the people, Hamavatel Rishus Chatzera, when one foregoes ownership in a courtyard, Rishus Beiso Lo Bitel, he is holding on to the ownership of his house. So the house is not part of the deal, if you will. Therefore, he who did not make an Eruv, so it's obvious he cannot carry in and out of that house. And since he is holding on to the ownership of the house, it doesn't belong to them either, so they cannot carry in and out of that house on Shabbos either. The Gemara asks Pshita. What we just said is obvious. What do we need Rav Sheshes for? Omar Rachbo. Anov Rav Huna Bar Chinino Targimno. The two of us explained. Loi Nitzrucha Elo. What Rav Sheshes is teaching is really needed for something else. In other words, from Rav Sheshes' words, we can extrapolate to another case. And this other case is not something that's so obvious and needs to be spelled out. What's the other case? Five people are joint owners in a chotzer, and one of them forgot to make an eruv. Okay, so now what is our expectation of the one who forgot to make an eruv? So as not to remain perilous to the rest of the immediate residents, we expect him to be mevatel his rishus. So, ledivrei Rebbe Eliezer, according to Rebbe Eliezer, who we learned just now, we had learned that when he's mevatel bayin yoche. What does that mean? That he's mevatel, his holding in the chutzner, his house goes along with it. An ayin yoche means with a gracious attitude, with magnanimity. So according to this mindset, that one is mevatel ba'ayin yofe, kishu mevatel, rishus ain't sorch levatel l'chol echod v'echod. He doesn't have to turn to the other four members of the chotzer and say, I'm mevatel to you and to you and to you. By mevatel to one, he's really showing us that he has an intention to mevatel, to give over his holding to all of the other members. Le Rabbonan. However, according to the Rabbonan, Kishu Mevatel, the Rabbonan who held that when one is Mevatel his holding, he's Mevatel only the Chotzer, not his house. So, as we pointed out, it's even if, when, according to the Rabbonan, when he's mevatel, he is mevatel ba'ayin ra'ah, with a limited sense of bittul. As we said, he's mevatel, true, he may be mevatel his holding in the chotzer, but he's not mevatel his holding in the house. So the Gemara says, when he's mevatel, kishu mevatel rishuso, someone of that opinion is tzorach levatel l'chol echod be'echod. He would have to be mevatel to each member of the chotzer, the other four people, to each one individually. Let us take a look at the Rashi. You'll see the Rashi in the upper part of the narrow lines. Hochi gar sinon lo nitzuch elo l'chamish shurim b'chotzer v'chule dashminin Rav Sheshes l'sum leiv l'hovin ta'am achlukus. And Rav Sheshes was trying to draw our attention to the depth of their reasons, the Rabbon and Rabbi Eliezer, the lumoid himenu dover achir, and to learn from it to something else. To the Rabbi Eliezer, mevatel bayin yofim mevatel. According to Rabbi Eliezer, when one is mevatel, he is mevatel with a gracious attitude. The lo amrinon, when we don't say chotzer de goli goli bayis de lo goli, that chotzer which he said I am being mevatel. In other words, he says I'm mevatel my holding in the chotzer. We're not to learn from Rabbi Eliezer, well, chotzer he said, but house he didn't say, therefore the house he isn't mevatel. Not so, but when he says chotzer, he means house as well. And we can learn from that this point, that when he's mevatel to one of the people, he's really being mevatel to the rest of them. The lo amrinon, and we do not say lamanda goli goli, lamanda lo goli lo goli. To the one he revealed his mindset, he's mevatel, yes, and to the rest, no. But rather, if he's megale, he reveals his mindset to one of them, to the one of the residents, he's really expressing himself with regard to all the rest as well. Ulu Rabbonon, tzorach levatel l'chol echod ve'echod. According to the Rabbonon, though, in such a situation where there are five residents and one forgot, he's got to mevatel to the other four. Ki hechid l'gabi bayis sviralei demay delo porish lo botil. Just like in the case of the house, we say, according to the Rabbanon, that which he did not state explicitly, so it was not, that which was not stated explicitly is not part of the bittul. Hachanami leman delo porish. Likewise here with regard to the one to whom he didn't say it explicitly, lo botil. The kulon asurin, and as a result of his not being mevatel to each one, if he, according to the Rabbanon, would have been mevatel to just one other person, the apagav da'ay de botilei irev im chavero, even though the one to whom he was mevatel made an eruv with the other people, ki irev me esmol adaito da'hi chukalo irev. When they made the eruv on Friday, they didn't have in mind this portion. The one who made the Eruv on Friday was not an owner of this property to whom the forgetter was mevatel on Shabbos. We turn back to the Gemara. Keman az laho desanya. We have a Tanaic source and we want to figure out who the Tana behind this source would be. Chamisha shishurim b'chotzer echad v'shochach echad mehem v'lo irev. five people who dwell in a common courtyard, and one of the homeowners forgot to make an eruv, kishu mevatel rishuso, when he voids, when he forgoes ownership, ein tzorech levatel rishus l'chol echad v'echad, there is no need to express the bittul to each one of the dwellers. Come on, so who would this be like? Rebbe Eliezer. That would conform to Rebbe Eliezer, who says, as we saw just before, that, and you see where we have the double underline, just a few lines up under Rebbe Eliezer's name, that's what we learned. Rav Kahana Masni Hachi. Up till now was Rav Kahana's version of the discussion. And as we said before, up till now was version Roman numeral number 1 in what Rav Sheshis's role was. Rav Tavyumi Masni Hochi. In this Lashon, we will discover that Rav Sheshis is appearing directly as the one responding to the question of who the author of the source of Hamisha Shishurin B'Chotzer Echad is. Whereas in the previous Lashon, Rav Sheshis was not brought in to answer that question. Rav Sheshis had made a comment earlier regarding what the result of Rebbe Lozer and the Rabbonin Shita are. Rav Tavyumi's version has Rav Sheshis as the one responding to the question of who is the author of this source. So we read on, Keman Az L'Ho D'Sanya, who is the author of the following source? Chamisha Sheshurin B'Chotzer Echad V'Shochach Echad Mehem V'Lo Yirev Kishu Mevatel Rishuso Eino Tzorach Levatel Rishus L'Chol Echad V'Echad. Come on, who is the author of that idea, this source that we just learned before as well, that there's no need to Mevatel to each one? Omer Rav Huna Bar Yud Omer Rav Sheshes. Come on, Rebbe Eliezer. This conforms to Rebbe Eliezer that we saw in the Mishnah, that when one is mevatel the holding in the chotzer, he in fact includes in the bittul the house, and as a result of that, the other members of the chotzer can carry in and out of that house, being that it is said to be part of their holding. The Gemara continues with a question, and you'll notice it's a long question. On the side, we have a tat nose, it's a subtopic heading, she'ela. The Gemara will raise a question, l'Rebbe Lazar. According to Rebbe Eliezer, that we have learned till now, says a person when he's mevatel ba'ayin yofen. When he says, I'm mevatel my holding in the chotzer, it includes the house. What will the din be, according to Rebbe Eliezer, Omar lo mavtilna, where he says, lo mavtilna besi. He says explicitly, I'm not mevatel my house. And likewise, le rabbonon. The rabbonon who said before that when one says, I am mevatel the holding in my chotzer, that which he says is what is the chotzer and not the house. What will the din be? Omar mavtilno gam besi. What will the din be according to the Rabbonon if he says, I am mevatel my house as well? So that, as we said, is a long question, and you'll notice we have markings where we continue using the double underline to highlight the names Rebbe Eliezer and the Rabbonon. And the diamond that you see will highlight the expression Taima de Rebbe Eliezer, likewise Taima de Rabbonon, where we look into the depth or analyze the reasons behind each one of these shitas. And you'll notice if you skim along in the Gemara, you'll notice that when each position is presented, there are two sides of the analysis, hence there is room for asking this question. And we mark that off with what we call the Aleph Odilma Beis type marking. And the Odilma, you'll see, is squiggle underline. So you'll see two sides of analysis under each name. So now, the Gemara. Omer Le Rav Popla Baye. Le Rebbe Lozer, who says, in general, you assume that when one is mevatel the chotzer, the house is, he's mevatel his house as well. So according to Rebbe Eliezer, E. Omar loy mavtilna, if he says, I am not mevatel my holding in the house. In other words, I mevatel the holding that I have in the chotzer, but not my holding in the house. What will the din be, according to Rabbi Elazar, regarding the house? Is it mutter for them to carry in and out of the house? Ulrabbonan, I omar mavtilna my. According to the Rabbonan, what would be the din if he says, not only am I mevatel my holding in the chotzer, but I am also mevatel my holding in the house? What's the din? Will it be mutter for them to carry in and out of that house? And now the deeper analysis. Taimo de Rabbi Elazar, and notice Aleph, and then a couple lines later, O Dilma Beis. Is the reason for Rabbi Elazar, Mishum de Kosovar, Hamavatel Rishus Chatzero, Rishus Beiso Bitel, that in general, when a person expresses his intention of foregoing his holding in the chotzer, the house goes along automatically. V'hai Omar ano lo mavtilno, and this guy is saying explicitly, I'm not mevatel my holding in the house. So we would take that seriously, and the house would then be osur according to Rabbi Elazar for the rest of the people also to carry in and out, because the original owner isn't foregoing his holding in that. Oy Dilma, time of the Rabbi Elazar, Mishum de Bayis Belo Chotzer Lo Avidi Inshi de Dairi. That there is no such thing as people living in a house without a chotzer. And since he ossered himself in the house, and because he was mavat in the chotzer, that is, he ossered himself in the chotzer, in carrying in and out of the chotzer, because he was mavatel his holding in the chotzer. So being that he's no longer a holder of the chotzer, and people won't live in a house without a chotzer, so it follows that the house is also mevutal. V'chi ko'omar lo mavtilnon, when he announces, well, I'm not mevatel my holding in the house, lav kol kamine, it's not in his power. As we said, since he doesn't have any chotzer, because that he was mevatel, a house without a chotzer just doesn't exist in legal terms, in our mind's eye, it doesn't exist. Afagav di'omar dayano lav klum komar, even though he said, I'm going to live in a house without a chotzer, we just don't play any premium on that. And with that approach, since he was mevatel his holding in the chotzer, he in fact is mevatel his holding in the house as well. So those are the two sides of the argument. Do we look at what he said, and that's how we conclude things? Or do we look at how people live? Ula Rabbonan, I Omar Mavtilno Mai, and according to the Rabbonan, who said up till now we had learned that if a person mevatel is holding in the chotzer, he's not automatically mevatel is holding in his house. What happens in according to the Rabbonan if he says I am mevatel my? So again, two sides of understanding the Rabbonan. Taimo the Rabbonan is the reason of the Rabbonan Mishum de Kosavri Hamevatel Rishus Chatzero Rishus Beiso Lo Bitel, that when one says I'm mevatel, I'm foregoing my holding in the chotzer, we take him at his word. The chotzer, yes, and the rishus of his house, the ownership of his house, he doesn't. He's not foregoing. And this guy, in our question, said he is mevatel his holding in the house. Not only is holding in the chotzer, but is holding in the house also. So that would be that would take hold, and his house would then become mutter, according to the Rabbonan, for the rest of the people to carry in and out of it. Oy dilmo taimo de Rabbonan mishum de lo ovid inish de mesalik nafshe legamri mibayis vechotzer v'avi ki oireach legabayu. Or is it such that a person in his deeper inner being would never remove himself completely from his house and the chotzer, and become like a guest, become like an outsider? And therefore, even though he says, I am mevatel my holding in the house, we wouldn't take him seriously. V'hai ki omar mavtilno lav kol kamine. And here, this guy who says, I am mevatel my holding in the house, But we know that people would never make themselves like a guest, like a total outsider. And therefore, it's not Lavko, it's not in his power, so to speak, to be Mevatel, the house also. And we would then this case would be the same as the Rabbonan's opinion before, in the case where he just said he's Mevatel his chotzer. So too, even if he spells out the bittel of his house, we wouldn't take it seriously. Omar Leh. So after this, as you can see, this was a long question that was posed to Abaye by Rav Papa. So Abaye answers, Bein the Rabbonin, Bein the Rabbelezer, Kevin the Goli, Daite Goli. Whether it's according to Rabbonin or according to Rabbelezer, we look at what he says. And if he says he is Mavatel, his house as well, it takes hold according to all the opinions. Another point that was made in the Mishnah, namely Reb Eloi, and the third halacha that he heard in the name of Reb Elazar, was that a person fulfills his moror requirement by eating arkebolin. My arkebolin, what is that? Omer Eish Lokish Atzvisa Charuziosa. And we glance at Rashi. Atzvisa Charuziosa Siv Ove Agodel Soviv Hadekel. It's a type of thick growth that grows around a palm tree, v'nichrach v'oyleboy kiluve gefanim, and it rises like the tendrils of vines. Charziyisa tchufos har bayachad, they are some type of growth that is one following the other in a close, intense, immediate fashion. Kemachruzos, like pearls, like the strings of beads. The ta'am morobo, and it has a bitter taste. Hence, the fulfillment of the moror mitzvah on Pesach with this food substance, or with this growth. That is the end of the second perek of Erevin, and at this point we begin the third perek, perek b'chol ma'arvin. Here, we'll be dealing with the food substances, what type of foods or are suitable, and what type of foods are not suitable for making the Eruv. As we look at our Mishnah, which opens the new Perek, you notice there are markings, and the triangles are featured on the side under our Mivneh heading. Shalosh halachos hakshuros l'mayim u'melach. There are three halachos that are not related to one to the other in and of themselves, other than the fact that a reference to water and salt is mentioned. The Mishnah opens up, B'chol, Ma'arvin, U'mishtafin, with all kinds of food items. You can make an Eruv Chatzeros, an Eruv Tchumin, and a Sheet of Mvos, Chutz, Min Hamayim, U'min Hamelech, other than using water or salt. In other words, if you have several members of a courtyard, houses, homeowners living off a common courtyard, and they all contribute a measure of water to a central barrel or pail in which they all pour their water, that will not establish an Eruv Chatzeros. Likewise, it won't establish one's Shabbos location in the context of Eruvei Tchumin, a topic that we've discussed in the past. And a Sheet of Mvos is like an Eruv Chatzeros, where different courtyard members join together in a common alleyway so that they can carry in and out of the alleyway to their courtyards. So all food items are acceptable to demonstrate the ownership and to demonstrate when people join their food together, they demonstrate or create a singular entity. By becoming all partners, they become a singular entity of ownership, and therefore you don't have the problem of that which looks like a Rishus HaRabim on a rabbinic level. We continue in the Mishnah, V'hakol nikach b'kesef meiser, chutz min hamayim u'min hamelach. Meiser, in this case, is a reference to Meiser Sheni. During the seven-year Shemitah cycle, the first, second, fourth, and fifth years, in addition to his Truma and Meiser Rishon tithe, which were given to the Kohen and Levian respectively, there was a Meiser Sheni tithe. One-tenth of his produce would be brought to Yerushalayim and he would eat it there. In the event that he had a lot of produce, and it would be a big tircha to schlep one-tenth of his produce, he has the option of redeeming it onto money. We call that Pidyon Maaser Sheni. What does he do with the money? He brings that to Yerushalayim and buys food and eats it there. So the Mishnah tells us he can buy any type of food item. Hakol nikach bekesef maaser chutz min hamayim umin hamelach. Hanodir min hamazon muter b'mayim uvemelach. One who forswears benefit or enjoyment from mazon, and at this point would just use that word, the word mazon, which people associate with the term food, without getting into detail, because that's a topic in and of itself, how to exactly define the word mazon. But one who forswears benefit from mazon, muter b'mayim uvemelach, he is allowed to continue drinking water and eating salt. As we continue in the Mishnah, there's a double underline, and on the side there's an explanation. Ma'arvin, etc. There are three people mentioned. There's a Nozir, a Yisrael, and a Kayain. Asiyas Eruv, there is the making of an Eruv, afal pi shiyesh tzad isur. So can an Eruv be made for someone who isn't necessarily going to benefit from that Eruv, from that food? We'll see as we go on. We'll see the topic a little more clearly. Ma'arvin l'nozir b'yayin. Now, a nozir is someone who is not allowed to drink wine, and yet we can make the Eruv for a nozir using wine. Well, the Yisrael b'truma. A Yisrael is a non-Kohen. A non-Kohen is not allowed to eat from a truma tithe. Yet, truma can be used. If you can imagine, for example, a Yisrael that happened to have a truma in his possession. There's a situation where he may have inherited truma from his grandfather, his maternal grandfather, who happened to be a Kohen. So he uses the truma that he owns but cannot eat. He can use that for making an Eruv. Sumchus Omer Bechulin. Sumchus says, no, a Kohen, a non-Kohen cannot use truma. If he's a Yisrael, he must use chulin, only that which he can eat. Ula Kohen bebeis hapras. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, afilu bebeis hakvoros. A Kohen is someone who is not allowed to absorb tumas mace, defilement to the dead. So this Mishnah is telling us that the Eruv for a Kohen, imagine he wants to make an Eruv Tchumen. So the Eruv has to be placed down at a spot that he wants to be considered at, be considered his Shabbos location. So this source is saying, this Mishnah is saying that you can place it in a Beis HaPras. A Beis HaPras is an area of Sofek Tumas Mace. So even though he, the Kohen, cannot go there, under normal circumstances, he cannot go there. And even though part of an Eruv requirement involves accessibility to it, and you would think it's not accessible, nevertheless, Beis HaPras being that it's a rabbinic area, it's called a Sofek, it's a Sofek Derabbanan. And as a result, there is a possibility of access to it if he were to go in by blowing the dirt away as he is walking ahead in the Beis HaPras to make sure that there are no bones fragments around. Rabbi Yehuda goes even further and says a Kohen can have an Eruv placed for him even in an actual cemetery. And the Mishnah continues at the top of Chof Zayin Aleph. Because there's a technical way of that Kohen having access to the Eruv, to the food item that was placed in the cemetery. Rashi says at the top of Chof Zayin Amud Aleph, Lochutz lasus mechitza beino ubein hakever shel yayolov. He can make a type of separation between himself and the grave. We could go v'shida tevo migdal yikone sham mibo yom ba'agolois in yirtza. He can enter it in some type of cart. And almo chazit le. Therefore, it's fit for him. And as he has access to it, Rashi points out, He has access to it on Friday. That's the idea of going in carts. You wouldn't travel in carts on Shabbos, but the concept of his having access, so he has access in theory. The following Gemara will deal with deriving halacha lemaisa, deriving halacha, practical halacha, from sources that teach things in a general rule type fashion. But as that is part of the Daf Chav Zayin, and we are saying shiurim in the context of Daf Yomi, so with this we conclude our shiur for today.